The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Thank you for the hands we are holding. Thank you for the hands we are holding. Thank you for the families we are holding. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for our land. We declare peace over our land. For every hand we are holding, we declare peace over you. For everyone whose hands we are holding now, we declare peace over them. Father, we ask that today will become another unique day in our lives. That by the time we are leaving this hall, we will be 1,000 times better. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Help me appreciate Eagle Heights Choral. I think you can do better than that. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You see, each time I'm privileged to stand before you, I remember the first time I walked into this hall, each time. And I just want to appreciate FEM Foundation for the great work they have done. I'm not kidding, but I'm sure if I hadn't that encounter that day, that time, possibly I would have been a different person by now. I just want to say thank you to FEM Foundation. Hallelujah. And for the people that are making the things happen, Reverend Ben and Pastor K. If you want to clap, you can actually clap. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I owe you my all. I don't know how to just repay, but we know that God helping us, we will fulfill our mandate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Already keeping quiet. I don't know. All right. Let's crack a joke a little. Is anybody sitting by your side? Just look at the person. Let's crack a joke a little. Look at the person. Eyeball to eyeball. Just look at the face. How is the face looking like? You have not answered me. Look at the person's face. How is the person's face looking? Okay, describe the person's face to the person. Describe the person's face to the person. Okay. Amen. That's the face we are taking back to the drawing board. That's the face we are taking back to the drawing board. So please arm yourself with a pencil and possibly a drawing paper so we can do some drawings this evening, okay? So the title of my message is Going Back to the Drawing Board. You see, for every company that is in that thriving or is going through challenges, one thing they keep doing is to go back to the drawing board. Going back to the drawing board to check what we are doing that is giving us the successes and to ensure that we keep doing it and then improving on it so we can have more success. for the ones who are not very, very successful, they're not thriving yet, they also go back to the drawing board to look at areas they are really not getting it right, so they can make adequate adjustments and so they can move on. Amen. And so this evening, we want to look at some things at the drawing board. Hear this. If we preach, if we teach, if we witness, whatever we do, and we see that most times we are not getting the required result, one of the things that must be done is to go back to the drawing board. And then I will ask the question. For everyone seated and listening or watching us through the medium that they are using, my question from this statement will be, try and take a stock of what we were by this time last year, and then measure it with what it is as at today. And let's see if there is anything that we need to go back to the drawing board to adjust. And so I will come out in this way. How was your commitment life to yourself by this time last year? Few weeks ago, few days ago, as it were, a father turned the question of what are you becoming to who are you becoming? And so, if I look at myself today and I see that what I am becoming is different from the originality of what I am supposed to be, the best place to go to is to go back to the drawing board. I'm going to show you what the drawing board is shortly. Let's look at this. We mustn't make excuses for powerlessness. Tell the person sitting by you, you must not make excuses for powerlessness. For the lack of power is a call to go back to the drawing board. Christians or believers or kingdom people are known for power. They are not timid people. They are not people that are afraid of circumstances. They are not people that are afraid of the challenges that is associated with the businesses they do or the offices where they are. But the challenge with Christians today is placing what the devil is doing much more than what God is doing. So we strive to outdo the devil. We try to pray to subdue the devil. We even have the concept of to fast so we can subdue the demons in the places where we are doing businesses. Any attempt of such is an excuse for powerlessness. Any attempt for such is an excuse for powerlessness. It is these days we see believers hiding because of cockroaches running around their houses. It is these days we see believers fret because of a simple statement a lecturer makes, that you will not pass my course. It is these days we see believers afraid of what tomorrow might bring. There's no money in the pocket, so we are afraid of it today. So again, turn to the person by your side. You must not make excuses for powerlessness. Complete it. Complete it. Tell the person, complete it. It then means that each day you feel powerless. Only one thing is needed. Go back to the drawing board. Each day you feel any kind of anything at all that threatens your faith, only one thing is needed. A going back to the drawing board. Look at the other thing I said. Bringing heaven to earth is not a hard task. It's only an impossible task that requires a going back to the drawing board. Of course, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer we pray, isn't it? Now, bringing heaven to earth is not a hard task. It is only an impossible task that requires a possible God. Anything that you will consider as a hard venture is actually not hard. It is impossible to do that thing. What is required for you to get that thing done is not hard job, is not hard training, it's not hard strategy. It's a going back to the drawing board, to the man with whom all things are possible. If you approach your challenges with hard work, it will be hard and impossible to achieve. But if you approach it with the person who says, with him all things are possible, it might seem impossible, very difficult to achieve, but at the end of the day, you will achieve it. You know why? Because it is required of you to bring heaven down. When life turns up and it doesn't look like what you plan for, what you require is to go back to the drawing board. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? This drawing board you are talking about, what is it? All right, I actually asked us to bring out our pens and papers so we can do a drawing. Okay, I'm going to give you an assignment shortly, or an exercise, okay? What is it that has not been working in life around you? Your business not doing well. Your family not doing well. Your relationship not doing well, so well. What is it that has not been working optimally? Today, we want to ask you to take it back. And then, this is not to say that strategy is not good, but it is not the first attempt to solving that challenge. Strategies are perfect, powerful, but they are not the first step to take as far as a believer is concerned. I learned something from my father, Reverend Ben. He says, when people tell you, face reality, take a step backward and find out the reality they want you to go through. What they are describing as reality is what is working for them. So the definition of our things should be defined by us. From what perspective am I looking at life? If I am looking at life from the perspective of God, it means everything I need to do must be defined by God. So if I sit in front of someone to make an argument, I should be sure that the person is arguing from the same perspective that I am arguing from, or else two forces are at conflict. So when you see people sitting at a table and they are arguing, then you should be able to ask them, where are you arguing from? If he is not arguing from your own angle, you better leave that argument. Why? You will not win the argument. Because you are a different person, he is a different person. That's why my father would say, when people sit in TV stations to make discussions, they usually never come to a conclusion. Because there are so many angles and so many perspectives they bring into play. So my question again is this: what is the perspective of your life? If you believe God and you are approaching your life from the perspective of God, this class is perfect. Some of the recommendations I'm going to make are superb for you. But if sitting in front of me, listening to me through the medium you are listening to me through, and your perspective is different from my perspective, there is only one thing that is required. Because I represent a government, because I represent a race, and because I represent the supernatural, I will require, I will ask that you join me in this race. Yes, we might be arguing and arguing out of place. When you have an unreasonable demand to meet, how many of us were in church on Sunday? First day of the week, how many of us were in church? Thank you. Of course, we listened to our mother speak to us. And one of the things she said is that God does make some powerful demands. And she said the demands that God makes normally are beyond all of us. They are not things that you can naturally fulfill. They are not things that you can naturally wake up to say, this is what I can do. If you can do it, then it doesn't require God. If it is something you can do without consulting prayers or praying about it, it doesn't require God. If it is something you can conveniently do, it then means that it doesn't require God. But if it is something that you know that naturally you can't do it, it then means that you require an external force. And the sciences people will say that everything will remain at a state of motionlessness, if there is anything like that, until an external force is applied to it. So the external force that is needed to apply to the kind of life we live in is what I'm about to describe to you. There is the externality that is beyond what we carry, that is beyond what we feel we can do. And that is what I'm here to introduce to you. There are three of them. Forgiveness is not hard. It's solely impossible without God. I'm trying to touch every part of life because we're going to sum it up in three things. People say, let him forgive now. Yes, I know. When they say it, it's easy said. Hello? It's easier said than done, like people will say. But it is the person who has forgiveness that can give out forgiveness. Hello? So forgiveness is a hard stuff. But it is not hard for those people who have forgiveness to offer. So, but it's an impossible task if we are doing it without God. That's why, having forgiven, most times we still see that we are bitter about it. So it is impossible to forgive truly without God on our inside. So on this note, I want to draw us to Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It is useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bones. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? That's God talking. John 15 verse 5. Bible says, yes. The first translation I read is the Message translation. This is the New Living Translation. John 15, 5. He said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, if you have that Bible as your own, underline those who remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This is Jesus talking. And at this particular page, Jesus wasn't mincing words. He wasn't playing. He wasn't joking. It wasn't a suggestion. He was saying it the way it is. And says, you see, as far as this kingdom is concerned, he is the vine. You are the branches. Now, it is for me to understand that I am not the branch, or I am not the source, I am not the vine, I am not even the root. What I am is the branch. It means he grew to an extent before he branched out of me. I am not the direct source or the direct channel through which it's, you know, to get supplies from the source. I am connected to him that is connected to his Father. So it then means that things that are supposed to come to me are naturally supposed to come to me through him, because I am the branch. If anything is not coming to me, I am sure it is not him that is the challenge. Because forever, oh Lord, he is a tree that is planted by the riverside. His leaves never dry up. His leaves never dry up. For as long as I am connected to him as a branch, it means that, see, Jesus as a branch, branches of trees are the ones that produce the fruits. Hello? Hello? So, it means that there is the nutrient in Jesus that is deposited in him that want to come through me as a branch to produce a tree, to produce a fruit. But that I am not seeing the fruit is not Jesus, but it means I should check my connection to Jesus. Because before you read to this particular verse 5, he says that the Father is the husbandman. For every tree that every branch that refuses to produce, the Father comes and prunes it. Now, if I ask for fruit, what type of fruit am I looking for? I'm not talking about having more money, even though that is part of it. I'm not talking about having more houses, even though that is part of it. The first fruit that we know of is a fruit called love. Hello? For if there is no love, okay, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much love, will produce much patience, will produce much, name them for me, long suffering, name them for me, joy, name them for me. For apart from me, you can't produce love. For apart from me, you can't produce anything that he wants you to produce. So let's go back to the drawing board, people of God. Please help me. Okay, let's go back to the drawing board. For us to be able to produce as Jesus would want us to produce, what exactly should we do? Number one drawing board is a drawing board of right prayers. I started by saying during the course of our introduction that it is only believers that are afraid of their environment. Please, my Father has taught me so well that it is not me that is supposed to be afraid. It is the circumstance that
are around where I appear that are supposed to be afraid of me. Hello? I am not supposed to be afraid of my circumstances. That I appear is what gave tension to the circumstances. Now, whatever they are doing, that my papers are missing, that everything around me is going upside down, is as a result of the fact that the molecular structure of that environment knows that a superpower has come in. So they are trying to either disappear or run away from wherever they are. And so in the course of their running away, the tables turned upside down. My paper fell. That my paper is missing is not the presence of devil. It is the fact that I appeared, and at the voice of my appearance, they disappeared. Hello? I wish I can get someone to follow me. Is anybody following me? Okay. Whew. It's Pastor, are you saying that what I'm going through, I have some health challenges? Yes, I know. Because Jesus said in his word, he will not allow you to have a temptation that is beyond you. That in every temptation where you are, there must be a way of escape. Now the thing is, as Christians, as believers of God, the thing you are going through, have you found the way that God has created for you to escape that? Most times our eyes are so dull, are so closed, that we barely even notice the way of escape. So we keep rigmaroling and keep rigmaroling. Most times the way of escape could just be a simple pulling your knees on the floor and then saying a short prayer. Maybe the way of escape could just be something like, okay, let me get a book and then read it. It could just be an ordinary meditation on John 3:16. It could just be an ordinary keeping quiet, being silent, for in your quietness is your strength. But because of the challenges, most times we are so full of the presence of the challenges that we barely notice the way of escape that the Lord has provided. Look at what Luke 18 verse 1 says. He said, one day Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and never give up. It is through our knees that our needs are met. I want to say it again. It is through our knees, that our needs are met. It is through our knees that our needs are met. Reverend was speaking to us over the weekend. Privileged to have been there. And he said, one of the things that believers have forgotten to do these days is a place of the Lord told me. I heard God. The Lord told me. When we want to marry these days, we hardly hear kingdom person say, the Lord told me this is my wife. The Lord told me. The Lord told me. I heard God say so. And he said fundamentally that the absence of the Lord told me is a big gap that Christians have created between them and the presence of God. So today, one of the drawing boards that we must return to is the drawing board of right prayers. And at the end of this message, we'll just look at the right prayers, the drawing board of right prayers. What are the prayers you pray? What are your prayer points? How are they constructed? Are they constructed from the defeatist mindset? Or are they constructed from the mindset of he that is from above, is above all? What are the kinds of prayer we pray? When do we even pray our prayers? Our prayers now, a response to the challenge, or that we pray because we just love God. That's our lifeline. More than ever before, my father will say, this time is more prayers. And he says, much prayers, much power. The people said in Acts chapter 6 verse 2, that it is not reasonable for us to neglect the responsibility of prayer and the word, and then serve tables. It is not reasonable for us to neglect the responsibility of prayers and the word, and then serve tables. How many Christians have neglected the responsibility of prayers and the word? And today, what is in front of them? It is not their prayer altars anymore. It is their tables where they share the things. It's a call to prayer. I have challenges of illness. Prayers. Oh, my children. Prayers. Oh, I need strength. Prayers. I need power. Prayers. Everything that the believer requires as far as life is concerned is rooted in prayers. Much prayers from a believer, much power. Paul says, I did not come to you with the excellency of words. I came to you in the demonstration of the powers of the Holy Spirit. That could have not been said from anywhere outside the place of prayer. When you see a child of God that prays, you know that this is a child of God. For people who pray are the people that move mountains. People who pray are the people who give eviction notice to the challenges of lives around them. Bible says some people prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. It is the art of prayer and the faith, even though their solutions didn't come. Read Hebrews 11. Even when their solution didn't come, God counted it for them as righteousness because they employ the efforts of prayer. We'll spend some time to pray at the end of this meeting. Look at the second one. The drawing board of meditating on God's word. In these days where we have social media and everybody is a newscaster, most of the things we meditate on are the words of men. I didn't end that statement with drawing board of meditation, because you can meditate on anything. I had to be specific. Meditating on God's word. Nathaniel, what was the last thing God said to you concerning today, tomorrow, next tomorrow? Tap the person by your side. Which word is holding you for today? Which word is your anchor for today? Which word is your anchor? I have the privilege of visiting some beaches, and where they have some people carry their yacht to come and do something. How, irrespective of how beautiful that yacht is, by the time they are done, sir, they still come back and then use an anchor to anchor it so that it does not flow away. Where is your anchor? Ask the person sitting by your side. Which word are you anchoring your life on today as God's word? See, if you don't have a word that you anchor your life on, the Bible says every wind will blow you anywhere. The doctrines of men will come and you will follow. Orphan freeze will come and say this what is trending now is not to pay tithe, and you will join. You know why? There is no word that is anchoring you. So when his wind blew, what happened was you now went astray into the sea. And remember, a stray boat without a driver in the sea ends anywhere. It ends anywhere. So which word is anchoring your life? Which word? Which word? Everything we are going through today, Moses went through. Moses went through. Bible says Moses considered himself to be God's son. So by that, he decided to endure. He decided to endure. He considered himself to be God's son. So he endured. Look at Hebrews 11. He considered himself to be God's son. So he endured the pain of being a God's son, of staying in the people. He had the opportunity, the choice of staying in the palace. He had a choice of staying with Pharaoh and denying God. But the day he knew that he was God's son, he realized that he was God's son. He took side with God. No wonder during the times of their journey, when the people had sacrificed, had made the golden calf, Moses stood up and said, "If you are on the Lord's side, come out to me here." Because he had made that decision long time ago that he wanted to be on the Lord's side. So he asked them, "If you are on the Lord's side, come and meet me up here." Bible records that it was only the priests that went to meet him up. Every other person didn't go. Why? The priests were convinced that they were children of God. So they didn't need to put their hands in the things that the other people were putting their hands in. They didn't need to mutilate their lives. They had decided to stay on the side of God. So if I ask you today, whose side are you? Whose side should we be? The answer will be on the side of God. But practically, right there in the secret place, whose side are you? Reverend will always ask, if you find yourself here alone, and then you see some dollars of bundles of dollars, and then you are the only person, nobody will know whether you have come here. We will not know whether you have the capacity to put some papers on your pocket without anybody knowing until that experience happens. So the question is, at the point that some things test your faith seriously on your inside, on whose side are you? Whose side are you? I like our father these days. He says, "My brother, if it is Christianity, let's take it serious. Let's take it serious. It's a time of meditating on God's word." What did he say in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8? He says, And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you will get where you are going. And what? You'll be successful. Make sure that this book of the law, this book of revelation, does not depart out of your mind. Ponder on it. Ponder and meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything that is written in it. Then you will get to where you are. I thank God that we are no longer where we used to be, because we are far away from where you used to be. But the question is, where am I now compared to where I'm supposed to be going? It is the word that I have stored in my mind, that I meditate on, that paves my way to where I'm going. Reverend will always say, sincerely from the depth of your heart, if you are supposed to be going this way, and sincerely you are serving God sincerely, and you are facing this way, he said, nothing will happen. Something will happen on your inside. That while you are facing that way, at the end of the day, you will find yourself there. How you get there is God's own. have your word on your inside. What word am I meditating on? The Bible says, for a young girl, none shall lack a mate. The Bible says, for a young girl, none shall lack a mate. For a young woman, he said, none shall cast their young. In fact, when they say none shall lack a mate, I just got to know, was it last week or there about 2 weeks back when Reverend was talking? He said, when God was speaking about none shall lack a mate, he wasn't actually talking to the higher species. He was talking to animals. He says, none of your animals will lack a mate. If God is so concerned about your animals that they will not lack a mate, how dare you ever think that you will, a human being will not lack a mate? He said, none of them will cast their young. If God is so careful that even alcohol, fowl that does not know how to cross road. Sheep. That while you are driving, you see sheep, you will match brake. I will not want to kill it. If you can be this careful, how dare you think that something can happen to you? What word is holding you, brother? What word is holding you, sister? Who told you will not make it? And the definition of making it is said by who? Who defines your making it? Who is the person that says, the people that make it, this is how they are? Go back to your word. Go back to God. He defines what it means to make it. And if you can pray 3 times a day, for me, you have made it. If you can study God's word a day, for me, you have made it. If you can be right with God for one day, for me, you have made it. If everything you have done is to please the audience of that one God, you have made it, sir. You have made it, ma. You have made it. It is not about having money, even though he will ship money to your way. For he says, I will cause prosperity to flow to you like a river. He didn't say, I will cause you to run after prosperity. He says, I will cause prosperity to flow to you. It means that wherever you are, serving God sincerely, he will create channels through which prosperity will come. Why do we waste our life looking for prosperity? For it was Reverend that said something, that a man of God, a big shot, ever said to him, or said at the time, that why did I waste my life running after wealth? I could have been wealthy anyway. And so when you sit back and when you get back home, ask yourself, what word is holding me, sir? Oh, they just sacked me. Uh-huh. And so therefore, is it not said there? It's said in the word that they will not like you. No, seriously. Is it not in the Bible? They will not like you. Because sometimes they need to push you away so that you can redefine and then go back to the drawing board. Because when things become very, very comfortable, you forget where you are coming from. So sometimes he allows things to come your way so as to correct some perspective around you. Yeah. Reverend made an example. And he said, if you have everything stored up in your fridge right now, you open your fridge, everything is there. You may never close your eyes and ask God for food. You may never. You know why? You have it all. That means as far as food is concerned, you are the God of your life. Because you can now say, it is my power that have made it. Come on now. You know what he said? He said, keep that money. Lock up that fridge. Go back to God and say, God, give me my daily bread. I say, ah. He has already provided it. It's in the fridge. He said, no. Go back to him and ask him again. Lord, give me my daily bread. Let's look at number 3. The drawing board of our communal life. The drawing board of our communal life. Drawing board number 1, prayer. Drawing board number 2, meditation on God's word. Drawing board number 3, our communal life. You see this thing that is here? Is what makes us a community. We are a community, not necessarily not because we stay in an environment, the same macrocosm. We are in a community because we have the same blood flowing in our vein. We are in the same community because I know you, you know me. We are in the same community because we have the same father. We are in the same community because we have the same mother. We put our hands in the same bowl and feed ourselves from the same bowl. That's what makes us a community. A drawing board of our communal life. Reverend, we always say, a problem might be bigger than you as an individual, but it can never be bigger than your community. Can never be bigger than your community. Whatever that is trying to swallow you, pass it on to your community. You see what happens. You see, because we have some other things to say, look at this scripture. Bible says, during this time, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers, the Hellenists, towards the Hebrew-speaking believers, because it's supposed to be their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food line. So the 12 called a meeting of the disciples. Now, the people, the Greek-speaking believers, speaking against bringing quarrel against the Hebrew-speaking believers, their portion of the food were given to them. Look at that scripture. They didn't lack. The people who lacked were the widows. Look at that scripture very well. The people who lacked, that the food were not getting to for this scripture, are the widows. So some people stood up, advocates, stood up to speak for them. Now the thing is this. Not every one of us, we have everything completely by himself, by herself. At one point or the other, you must need me, I must need you. At one point or the other, you must need me, I must need you. At one point or the other, there is something that you cannot do that it is only me that can do it for you. At one point or the other, there is one thing I cannot do that it is only you that can do it for me. Now, that I am crying that somebody needs to help me, does it mean there is disunity in the house? It's only saying that I need someone who can meet the needs that I have. That is what is happening here. So the disciples said, okay, let's call for a meeting. And they called for a meeting. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibility of preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. So friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense. And we will assign them this task. Meanwhile, we will stick to our assigned tasks of prayer and speaking God's word. First responsibility of Christians is prayer, speaking God's word. First responsibility of a believer. Every other thing we follow, every other thing will take shape. I'm not against strategies. I believe in strategies. But fundamentally, one thing that believers must never allow to go out of their life is the ministry of prayer and the word. Once prayer is lacking, irrespective of how good the strategy is, give it some time. It's coming down. In fact, strategies gotten from the place of prayer will stand the test of time much more than those ones concocted with our brains. So the people began to say, choose some men. Let them attend to the ministry of food. Let them attend to serving tables. Because in this, our community, some people must always lack. Some people must be attended to. And when I mean lack, I'm not saying they must lack money. They must lack food. There must be something that you need from me, and there must be something that I need from you. You see the way we are seated. Some of us are cold, but Bible says that if two people stay together, they will warm up themselves. What is happening now is we are warming up ourselves. Spirit is exchanging spirits. We are discussing in the deeper sense. The deep is calling out to the deep. And that is what is happening. At verse 7, it says, based on their communal life, the word of God prospered. It now says the number of disciples that were added were a number of them. And you know something? One thing we have gotten very right in church is our deviation from the Lord's Prayer. We have gotten the study of God's word very wrong. We have gotten prayer very wrong. We have gotten fellowship very wrong. The only thing we have gotten very, very right as far as the church of God is concerned is our deviation from the Lord's Prayer. Somebody stand up and help me with the Lord's Prayer. Want to go? Father. Wait. What did you say? What did you say? I said one person should say it. Can one person stand? Just one person. Nathaniel, stand. Quote me the Lord's Prayer. You are the only one standing. How can only you standing? What is he supposed to say? My Father, my Father. But Jesus by himself, teaching us to pray, says, each time you sit to pray, this is the prayer you must pray. Our Father. One thing we have gotten very, very right in church is to replace our with I. It's to replace us with me. I wish we can return to this prayer. You see, Reverend will always say that what God gives to you is what he wants to give to us. He wants to give through you to the person that is seated by you. He wants to give us the thing that he wants to give you or he has given you. But he always saw you as a channel, a vessel, a faithful vessel to pass that thing through. It's just that by the time the thing gets to your hand, the once faithful Nathaniel used to be very, very faithful, unknown to God. I don't know whether God didn't know. That by the time the thing lands in Nathaniel's hands, Nathaniel will become. Meanwhile, at the end of life, what's that statement our Father is going to say to us? Welcome. That what? Faithful servant. It means, thank you for being faithful, for carrying what I have to give to that neighbor, that you helped me to get it through to that person. Now, my brothers and sisters, imagine you are sending a parcel to your mother in Abuja, and you have packaged it, and I have a company called Parcel Carrying Company, and you actually paid me to carry that parcel. After 1 month, if your mother doesn't get the parcel, what do you do? Will you wait till 1 month? It then means that what we have gotten very, very right in church is the replacement of us with me. I wish we can return to this prayer. That each time we kneel down to pray, we don't say, my Father who art in heaven. All I will say is, our Father who art in heaven. It means at a point I am unable to pray, by the time you lift up your voice and you say, our Father, on behalf of me, you are calling God Father. Oh, Shakaraya Boshinde. It means even when I am so weak, I can't ask God for a daily bread. If you stood in your house, you laid in your house, you knelt in your house, and you lifted up your hand and said, Father, give us this day our daily bread. It means on behalf of us, you are asking God for the daily bread. It means that God may not necessarily give you the food, but he knows the person that needs that food. Because you didn't ask for yourself, you asked for us. So you say, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And then God necessarily will locate the person that needs the bread, even though he didn't pray for it, because we are in a community. And even when any of us has committed a sin, and you knelt down in front of your house and you say, our Father, please forgive us our sins, even though as we have forgiven our debtors. He may not have been able to forgive anybody, but because you are forgiven, he has right to claim forgiveness. So God will release forgiveness over the house. You know the problem, the challenge of church? The challenge of church is that we learn to pray for myself. We have not learned to pray for ourselves. We've learned to ask God for myself, me, myself, and I. We have not learned to pray for ourselves and ask God for we, us, and all of us. I wish we can get believers to go back to this prayer point. I say, I may be weak right now, but I know a brother of mine is praying for me somewhere. I may not have the faith to move ahead, to go and face my interview. I've not even told anybody to pray for me, but I just know in my community some people prayed last night, so they actually added me in their prayer list because they called God our Father. They didn't call God my Father. There's something I want to say in Firm Foundation, that we no longer call God my Father, we now call God our Father. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the hands of kidnappers. Lead us not into the hands of people that when we enter their vehicles, we won't come back. Lead us not into those hands. They may not pray, but because you have prayed, your prayer is covering someone. They may not have asked God for it, but because you have asked God on behalf of us, we are all covered. Yes, we are covered. He's our Father. He's not your Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. So that is when you pray. And then when God gives you the opportunity to make some food in your house, you are making it with the consciousness that someone else is coming to join you. You know something? For whatever you pass, whatever you ask, you concord in your heart is what God will bring to pass. Yes. So as you are going about, you know that someone has need for this thing. Listen, the money in your pocket is not by mistake. Someone has need of it. You only need to open your ears to hear who that person is. The food in your store is not there by mistake. Someone has need of it. You only need to open your ears to know who that person is amongst this community. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth. What is the will of God? The will of God is that all of us will have the supply of God. And what is the supply of God? The presence of God. I wish we can go back to the place of prayer. No wonder the Bible says when the people got this prayer, everybody went to their homes. They began to sell their possessions. They began to sell their things and begin to bring it to the apostles' doctrine, because that is where the people that have need will come to pick up their needs. When they drop it, they don't care who the clothes are given to. They don't care who the shoes are given to. They don't care who the food is given to. They don't care anymore because they have brought it. When they are coming because they know that there's something to eat. But someone, somewhere is praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If I ask you to pray tonight, what kind of prayer will you pray? Will you still ask God for what you need, or you ask God for what the community needs? What you need is far less than what the community needs. If God meets your needs, he has now met the needs of the community. Allow God to meet the needs of the community. For in the needs of the community is your need. So let me ask you to bow your heads and ask God for just one thing. Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. You may not have married. You may have married. But there are some persons you say, God, none shall lack their mate. Not necessarily because I am married, but because I know in this community, someone needs to be married. Someone will say, ah, God, I just pray that there's someone that who he said, none shall cast their young. None shall cast their young. The mercy, they can't cast. None can cast their young. None. And so you are lifting up your hand and say, Father, in our community, none shall cast their young. And then you are lifting up your hand and you say, God, in this our community, irrespective of the challenges you are going through, let me remind you, Peter was carried. The Bible said the community gathered together and began to pray. The community gathered together and said, God, we lost James, we can't lose Peter. We lost James, we can't lose Peter. We lost James, we can't lose Peter. The Bible said the angel of the apostle, the angel of the community, went into the prison and freed Peter. Why? Because the community prayed. Can I get believers to pray? If anything you need to do, the right is to pray. I need to lead you to pray. I don't want to give you any prayer point, but there's something you can't do is to open your mouth and begin to speak in the language of the Holy Ghost, because God is in the house. He's a God of the community. He's a God of the people. What the people need is in the hand of God. And if there is anyone in the congregation and there is any special thing you need, you know I have not mentioned it, you can come to the altar, because you are actually the person we are praying for. You have a prayer need, come to the altar. You are actually the person we are praying for. None is supposed to be feeble among us. It means none should be sick among us. If you are sick in the house, we need you to come to the altar. The pastors are here to communicate the healing of God over you. Yes! The church needs to pray. We can lead the church. We can ask the church to pray and say, Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth.
Our Father.
You are in the congregation. You need us to pray with you. Come around. Just come and meet me up here. Come and meet me up here. Come and meet me up here. We are here. Come and meet me up here.
Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same. Not earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Here right now. Let heaven come.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.